Hey everybody, we're in Virginia, and I'm in Virginia with buddy of the pod, Marissa. Obviously, Virginia, crazy cool state, lots of beaches, it's near the capital, tons of history, whether it was Civil War stuff, whether it was the founding of the country, 13 colonies, but we're going over the food, which incorporates a lot of things. If you want the recipes for the food, make sure you sign up for our newsletter at culinaryconvo.com. Go to the middle of our homepage there and definitely check that out. You can sign up using your email, or if you're like, man, I don't want to fill out those forms, you can send it to me directly, culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. We'll get you signed up. But definitely check it out. Make sure you follow us and subscribe, punch the notification bells, do a pirouette over to our YouTube and everything else. Watch what the food looks like, what everything looks like, what I look like. I think pretty guy. I don't know. Just make sure that you're checking us out on all of our socials. Obviously, going through Virginia here, it is kind of one of those states that, like, I think I've been in for a very temporary amount of time. But the main thing is with Virginia is it's just one of those states that it's like categorized and lumped in with West Virginia, Appalachia, the South, and it, you know, it really fits in, I think, a good like summary of American food in there, especially with the hams. Lots of hams and biscuits. Ooh, good stuff. But anyways, we will move on to United Foods of America, Virginia, after a word from our sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey everybody, it is United Foods of America. We're
What's
in Virginia.
Up, everybody?
Yeah, Marissa
Let's
in the
play
in the
back
his
at
house.
West Virginia.
Yeah. Not West Virginia. It's just regular Virginia.
Dang it. I always mess up on these episodes.
It's because they couldn't hold it together. It's because they couldn't collectively be one Virginia. Yeah.
Dang Patriots. I don't know if it's
that's not the state that the Patriots play in.
No, I'm not talking about football.
Oh, you're
talking about
Civil War? Is that
yes.
Oh.
That
yeah.
Dang Tom Brady breaking up West Virginia from original Virginia.
I thought it was his wife. That's what I thought. I thought it was Giselle. I thought she was like, my West Virginians. And then he's like, no, my Virginians. I don't know what accent Tom Brady has. I have no idea. He's from Michigan, I think. I don't
then
remember.
Probably vaguely Canadian and not whatever you just did.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, we're in Virginia. And
yay.
What do you know about Virginia? Anything?
13 colonies, Roanoke Island, the first place. Roanoke. Well, there is an island. And then that became like a part of a whole,
hullabaloo.
A conspiracy theory, because those are stupid. But like a mystery, because it just got like... and it got
they disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably just died of dysentery or something.
No, I actually heard an updated version of Roanoke. What happened?
Really?
There was actual some tribal scribing on the like trees and some of the houses and stuff that was there, and I actually believe like some of them may have died. Common. Could have been diseases. Could have been accidents. Whatever. But they also think that a big majority of them went and lived with the native tribes once winter came about so that they could learn how to survive. And then they just became part of their, like, thing. Because they couldn't find where there was, like, murder, right? There's, like, blood everywhere or something. Like, no. It's just like they up and vanished. And they were saying that, yeah, they probably went with one of the tribes to learn how to live, and they just incorporated themselves into, because they're like, when is our second backup people coming? And they never showed up. And so they were like, oh man, we're in Roanoke and we don't have anywhere to go.
There is a story I read from somebody, and yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, because from that story, there was such a dependency on the Native Americans around the spots they would land. I don't remember the exact tribe it was from, or that was in that story. It wasn't a story, it was like an actual historical thing, but I'm just saying story as in I read it.
The tale.
Anyway, there was a ton of dependency on them when winter came, because they had no idea what they were doing there. And there's nothing like cell phones being like, oh yeah, we'll come on our ship. We're nearly there. Don't worry, because old times, man.
Yeah, they're like, Tedious, Thaddeus, please go and Google how we grow corn in December. And it's like, they didn't have that. They didn't. They wouldn't have even thought that if they had Google. They wouldn't even think that way. Like, no, they couldn't Google anything. Isn't it weird how everybody jumps to Google? Isn't that weird? Yeah. Like, nobody thinks, like, back then, it was guides. It was guides and experts and, like, mountain men and stuff like that. Nobody was like, oh, yeah, there were tons of, like, guides around Roanoke. No, everybody jumps to, like, cell phones and Google. Like, before cell phones and Google, we were just throwing rocks at each other. like, do you know how to plant potato? No, I don't know how to plant. And you just throw rocks at each other? Is that all we did? Like, I mean, the 70s, we didn't have internet. We didn't have Google. What was going on? Like,
I went in a completely opposite direction, because when he said that, I was thinking, oh yeah, nobody ever thinks about the other browsers in the world anymore, like Firefox and Chrome and Bing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, Internet Explorer's around.
Yahoo.com.
Yeah. What about Edge or Ask Jeeves? Oh. Anyway, let's get to Virginia and their foods, eh? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Virginia. Look at oh my gosh, such a big, nice state. Look at it.
It looks like a little piece of steak.
Kinda, yeah. Looks like somebody's like really taking a couple bites out of it, and it's getting towards the end. You know,
abnormally flat at the bottom.
I know. Yeah, it's just a barrier to North Carolina there. But yeah, Virginia, the first one here, Hotel Roanoke Peanut Soup. Peanut soups are very popular in Africa. So, makes sense. You know, you had a lot of slave trade. When in the city of Roanoke, Virginia, there is one dish that is absolutely worth trying. By the way, this is from Taste Atlas, so good website to check out. Most popular food in Virginia. The peanut soup is at the Grand Hotel Roanoke. The soup is considered to be a southern delicacy dating back to the 1700s, as peanuts were embraced by the Africans in the 1500s. Oh, you don't say. They were later brought across the ocean to colonial Virginia via the slave trade. Virginia peanut soup is a variety of mafé, a peanut soup popular in Senegal and Gambia. But at Hotel Roanoke, the soup is flavored with lemon juice, butter, and chicken broth. So it is slightly milder than the spicy West African version. We whited this, is what that is saying right
there.
Yeah. Is that spicy? Yeah. Yes. Oh, this needs to be whited.
We stole all of your spices, but actually, just butter, please.
Please, just butter and chicken broth.
Butter is a little bit too hot for my mouth, so something like paprika, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, the dish was created in 1940 by Chef Fred Brown. Along with a companion dish called spoon bread, which spoon bread is like cornbread. I do know that. The recipes for both dishes were a secret until the 1950s, the early 1950s, when the hotel management recognized a great PR opportunity and started spreading them around. Today, the hotel serves about 48 peanut soup dishes a day, celebrating the region and the whole historic nature of the property.
What was the PR opportunity?
I know.
That immediately sounds shady.
I know. They were like, hey, we have this West African thing. We've really widened it out.
Yeah, it's Virginian now. Yeah,
it's Virginian peanut soup now. And then somebody was like, well, hey, peanut butter's really taken off. And they're like, we got a PR opportunity. We got to show this peanut butter
soup. We can use these people.
Yeah, we can use this to get more money. Or as they would say, more clams. And then they run to the Virginia beach and they all cry in the white sand. Even their sand is white.
Virginia. Capitalism makes me so tired.
Yeah, it's tiring at times. Yeah. But you know what isn't tiring? Being a sailor.
Actually,
it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Yeah. It's really being a sailor. But the sailor sandwich here. Yeah, that's right. Look at that bad boy. Oh, yeah. If you're listening to the podcast, you really need to hop over to YouTube, check it out, and share, like, follow, subscribe, slam that notification button, punt the like button into our inbox, but also make sure you do a kickflip 360 on over to our website at culinaryconvo.com. Yeah. All those terminologies I'm hip to. Because I am young and cool.
Do we have a newsletter?
Almost. We're almost to the email newsletter, which will have recipes from every episode of all these things. You can check it out newsletter. On Pinterest. Pinterest as well. We do have a Pinterest. And I'm trying to gather that up as well. I tell you what, archiving this stuff. Whoa. I talk a lot. Why did I do that? Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, but
it's just the part of who you are.
I know. But the marketing, got to get back to that. Once again, like, subscribe, share with your friends, your family, everyone you love that Culinary Convo is the best at teaching you about Virginia and America, but also other countries with mapping the culinary world, but also plate and time. Yes.
But like, most importantly, have a good day. If you're listening.
Yeah, be cool. Just have a good day.
I hope your day has been all right, and that if it hasn't, then this little podcast can bring you maybe one laugh. Yeah. We're not very funny, but we are dumb, so you can laugh at that.
There you go. Yeah.
Sorry for throwing you under the bus.
It's fine. Everybody deserves a smile, and everybody deserves good food. And that's what we're bringing with the sailor sandwich. In Virginia, you got hot dogs speared into cheese bread.
Yeah,
the sailor sandwich is made with a combination of hot pastrami, melted Swiss cheese, mustard, and grilled knockwurst on rye bread. The sandwich was invented in Richmond, Virginia, at the New York Deli, which was established in 1929. Although it is still unclear who had named the sandwich, it was invented to satisfy the appetites of Navy seamen who would frequent the deli and order this yet unnamed sandwich. Today, sailor sandwich is a city staple, but it is still relatively unknown outside of Richmond. I agree. I've never heard of this sandwich before.
Me neither. Or knockwurst.
Yeah, or knockwurst. Yeah, what's knockwurst?
Is it a fish?
I bet it's this one guy's house out. Near Roanoke, and if you knock, he blows off your hand, and he uses that to make sausage.
Oh, it's like bratwurst. It's a type of sausage.
Ah, there we go. Research mid-episode brought to you by Culinary Convo's Marissa.
Gotta stay educated on sausage.
Yeah, gotta always staying up on the worst. That's what you gotta do, you know? The bratwurst, you get it?
Yeah, I get it. But for real, this sandwich, I haven't had lunch today, so anything sounds good to me. But genuinely, this sounds pretty nice. I would try it.
And I like the French fries. They got the French fries all stacked. You could throw some of those in the middle of that. Nobody's going to miss it.
Honestly, anything with melted cheese.
Yeah, it's a winner in my book. Yep. Melted cheese, and winner, winner.
Hot sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. What is it? There's like a certain time in summer where cold sandwiches are the best. And then every other month year round, hot sandwiches are just way better. Yeah. Don't know what it is. It always turns out that way.
I'm a hot sandwich lover every month, all year. But
yeah.
And especially in the fall months, just
That's when you go to the hot sandwich church and you're like, hallelujah, hallelujah for the sandwich now. Everybody get your hands up. Start talking in tongues, but really you're just trying to get mayonnaise off of your mustache. That's what I'm
mayonnaise
doing.
Mayonnaise on sandwiches, so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Next
there
item.
Are people, yeah, I know, there are people in this Sorry. World who don't like mayonnaise. And they don't understand it's that it's just food lube. That's all it is. It's food lube. It helps you. It helps go down the gullet.
Sorry, I'll say one more thing and then we can move on. Yeah. But mayonnaise, like visually by its own, I get it. It looks disgusting.
It looks like Mitch McConnell. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have this is a spicy episode.
Yeah.
When you have it on a sandwich or like anything else, pairing it, it goes down and you don't even know it's there. It's really good.
Yeah. Just perfect. Kind of like Smithfield hams. Yeah, that's
actually
right.
No, but
what?
Continue on.
Oh my gosh. Like, you don't like I ham?
No.
You don't like ham?
No.
You don't like pig leg. That's what you're saying. Right.
The
now.
Only part of pig that I like are ribs and then
what about bacon?
No, I don't like bacon.
What about sausage?
I like sausage, but
okay. What about pork chops?
I've never had pork chops.
What about pork rinds? Have you ever had pork rinds? Head cheese? Pickled feet? Anyway, Smithfield Hams is a trademarked country ham hailing from Smithfield, Virginia, where it's finished cured. The ham is made from pork meat that's processed, treated, hickory smoked, aged, salted, cured, and aged for at least 6 more months. Some might be aged for up to 2 years. Yeah, that little oinker is like almost in preschool by the time we're eating this thing. The whole process must be done within Smithfield, and the pigs must be fed a diet of peanuts and grains. Smithfield ham has a dry and stringy texture. Mmm, that sounds wonderful. While the flavors are salty, nowadays there's a wide range of Smithfield ham versions, such as baked apple spice spiral ham, brown sugar spiral sliced ham, and then crunchy glazed spiral sliced ham, or pecan praline spiral sliced ham.
I'm not gonna judge it, because I don't even care about ham, so this isn't my table to sit at.
Okay.
But I don't know how I feel about the description of dry and stringy.
Right. Like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like jerky. Like, yeah, this is a ham jerky, basically. It's like,
I mean,
what?
I can't imagine what you would put it on, but I'm sure it goes with something.
Just glazed hams. I think I've had Smithfield ham, and dry and stringy is not the way I would have classified it, maybe. I don't know. It's
maybe
one of those
it's
things.
Just a writer's flair.
It might be, yeah. The writer's like, it has this dry nature. And you're like, that's not a good thing.
What a good one. Yeah, dry
exactly.
And stringy and texture.
Smithfield hams, the wine of pork. that's what it's trying to get to.
But also white wine, because we're in Virginia.
Yeah, we're in Virginia. It's going
really.
To be white.
I'm just making fun of colonial Virginia.
Yeah, colonial Virginia. I tell you, it's probably where they got this next one. Brunswick stew. Yeah. It's also called squirrel muddle. Yeah, that's right. Even though its origins are the subject of a heated debate, with Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia all claiming the dish to be their invention, everyone agrees that squirrel meat was the original ingredient of this southern smoked meat stew. Today, rabbit or chicken are used instead of squirrel, along with chunks of tomatoes, potatoes, beans, corn, okra, and salt pork or bacon. The stew has a distinctively smoky flavor due to the smoking the meats before adding them to the pot. Accompanied by a heavy dose of barbecue sauce, Virginians originally called the dish Virginia Ambrosia. Whoa. Ambrosia is like more of like a dessert salad. It was invented in 1828 by Jimmy Matthews, an African-American chef who was hired to cook for a squirrel hunting party in Brunswick. The people of Georgia erected a huge iron pot monument in Brunswick near Savannah that represents the original cooking vessel in which the first Brunswick stew was cooked in 1898. North Carolina, along with having an important barbecue tradition, claims the dish is theirs solely on the basis of an eponymous town in the state. Whatever its origins may be, the stew is a popular dish throughout the South, be it at barbecue joints or 4th of July celebrations. Its rich, flavorful juices, traditionally scooped with cornbread, crunchy hush puppies, or biscuits. Yeah.
I have said this before, and I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. I love soup. Just yeah. love it. And I know this is stew, but you know what I mean.
Right. Although this one's a brothy stew. I mean, you know.
Oh, I love broth. But anyway, yeah. I don't know how I would feel about a smoky broth.
Hmm. I love it.
It's just, I don't really like... when I think of smoky, I think of barbecue. And right. I'm not a huge fan of... that taste.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been to the South or the Midwest.
No.
Where barbecue is king.
I have not stepped foot out of this state.
I am trapped. Just to help everybody out there, she's not literally trapped. Like, she is metaphorically isolated to this area.
Sorry, it's that dry and stringy metaphorical flair coming yeah, back to me.
Coming back. But yeah, but no, I mean, it's like, I think that smokiness, one, you got to have the right wood. Two, it can't be overpowering. It has to be like this subtle, you know, whatever, which means you have to have good products in the first place, right? So it's one of those things where when somebody's like, I'm a barbecue master, if you're buying your meat from like Walmart and you're thinking, yeah, I'm pumping out great barbecue, I don't know, unless you work there and you like handpicked that cut, like I highly doubt you're getting the cream of the crop here in terms of barbecuing, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I think, yeah, it's hard because it turned into like a machismo thing where like, if you had really great barbecue, you were like not only a great chef maybe to include women in there, but you were like a good man. You're a good man. If you know how to bake them ribs. And it's like, bake the ribs, Janet? You mean smoke them? And she's like, eh. And it's like, yeah, your husband sucks. Your husband doesn't know how to make ribs like mine does. That's how those interactions go. I lived in the Midwest. I know how they...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean,
but it's true. There's like an air of that. There's a weird thing with barbecue and like manliness. I don't know
it's
why.
It's very strange how competitive it gets. Yeah. But like on the flip side of this, I really want to know what because I bet this sort of food would become integral into like a few families. So I really want to know how like a grandparent cooks it and how it might differ. Yeah. And how it might be more, better.
Oh, better. Yeah. Well, and I'm sure it's all about technique, right? Like, if G-Ma is still using, like, a weird pot, and she's like, no, you don't melt the butter, you put it in whole at the end. It's like, oh, Granny, like, please, let's... Here, you go ahead and sit down. Now I have to cook the Brunswick stew my way. And it's like, when did Grandma become a pirate? And how did she get into this kitchen so fast? I made my Brunswick stew. It's like, okay, whoa there. And that's the other thing is most grandmas are just really nice and they're sweet. And they're like, I'm going to make Brunswick stew. And you're like, oh, okay, great. You know? And so, like, they're probably pretty good at it. But yeah, if you've got like, you know, son or grandson, daughter, granddaughter, whatever it may be, and they're like chef level, I bet they make a very good Brunswick stew.
Yeah, no. I think I phrased it in a weird way. I was just trying to say that I'm curious on how like a family or just whoever takes this and makes it traditional to their sort of bubble of people.
Yeah. The differences in each family and then like how it evolved over time. Yeah. You know, one family's like, we always have cornbread. And then another family's like, we always have hush puppies.
What do you mean? And then another one is just like, we have corn.
We have biscuits and we have corn. It's a lump with knobs.
That's actually Kaylee that says that.
Oh, yeah. Kaylee does. Oh, my God. She sings that corn song like at least 15 times a day. I never say it. I just go, oh, would you like me to include corn into a stir fry? She's like, it's cone. And I'm like, okay, ma'am, you need to slow down. And she's, yeah, but no, I, you know, she's excited about the kid. I get it. It's a good song, but, yeah, I don't know. She's all about the corn at this point. She needs to be more into the country ham because she likes ham and beans. She loves ham and beans. And so country ham is a dry cured ham usually associated with the Southeast U.S. Virginia country hams are considered the best and were loved even by Queen Victoria of England. For a good country ham, the meat has to be dry cured in salt for at least 3 months and can sometimes be smoked afterwards. This ham is known for its usually salty flavor. Country ham can be either baked or boiled, and it is very versatile. It can be served as an appetizer or as a main course, and it pairs well with other meat dishes, gravy, salads, and even seafood. No matter the method, country ham is best served thinly sliced at room temp. Room temp ham. Just, why do they make this sound not as good as it is? Like
it's temperature ham.
Oh, is that the dry, stringy room temp ham? Please put some on my plate as an appetizer.
Recently, I've had a boba tea flavored dry, stringy room temperature ham. Actually, the boba balls had gravy that was cold.
It's cold. That was actually below room temp. Can you believe it? Yes,
I found it in my backyard.
They were like gravy marbles.
Okay, we can't.
I know.
We can't get distracted again.
We can't get distracted.
We really took
this.
The viewers out with the Brunswick.
I know.
I'm sorry,
the Brunswick.
Everyone.
Yeah. Well, the squirrel muddle. That's the. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to come back from.
Gotta
that.
Go.
Yeah, but the next one, ham biscuits.
Why is there so much ham?
Because there are pigs everywhere.
Ugh.
Yeah, sometimes I think they get them confused as children, really. I think that I show up as, like, a special speaker during a, what do they call those? Like, oh, man, it's an auditorium and they... What do they
call
that?
like a
I know
a
the
speech.
Word escapes me. Yeah, yeah.
A motivational speech.
Yeah, I'm a motivational speaker. And I'm just there. I'm like, man, I love Virginia's country hymns. Oh, there's one right there. And then it's just some kid going up the stairs.
There's a spotlight.
Yeah.
And it's like Batman, but it's a pig face.
It's just a pig.
And then little Bobby is like, what?
Yeah.
Are you calling me a pig? And then
My
everyone
mama
points
calls
at
me Bobby. Why are you calling me a country ham? I'm like, no, I meant it as like a joke. I don't think it's funny. I'm like, Bobby, you're really
it's
ruining
actually,
my speech.
It's actually Bobby from King of the Hill.
That's my purse. I don't know you. And they're just, yeah. Oh, man. I tell you. But ham biscuits, they are traditional snacks, sandwiches from Virginia, consisting of a thin slice of country ham that's placed in a buttery, flaky biscuit. It could be made of butter, fat, or lard, or buttermilk, and then Virginia ham. The dish is a southern staple for brunch, lunch, dinner, and at various celebrations. It is recommended to serve ham biscuits with condiments such as chutneys, jams, plain mustard, or honey mustard. Yeah.
Honestly, they look like little sliders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like little ham sandwiches. Mm. Yeah. Pretty good stuff. And then this is the king of all kings, mac and cheese.
Yeah, represent all the 8-year-olds.
Mac and cheese, mac and cheese. Yeah, this is like everybody who grew up in the 90s and was like, I got the blues. Yeah, it came from Virginia, okay? Kraft, all that stuff. Virginia, all of it. Mac and cheese, a seemingly simple combination of macaroni and melted cheese. It is one of the most popular dishes in the United States. the preferred American combination because it consists of curved macaroni pasta and cheddar cheese. But modern varieties include vegetables, breadcrumb toppings, or gourmet ingredients such as crab, lobster, or truffles. Yeah. But it was inspired by similar pasta dishes enjoyed in Italy and France. In the U.S., it was popularized by none other than Thomas Jefferson's cook. So not Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, his cook, which I believe his name was Hercules, if I am correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an African-American chef. Yeah, but anyways, he fell in love with the combination of pasta and cheese during his European travels, and soon after returning, he started importing macaroni and had the pasta machine shipped in Virginia. Oh, man. And yeah, he had his lavish banquets, and his distant cousin, Mary Randolph, published the first mac and cheese recipe in 1824. The dish was further popularized when Kraft placed the box variety on the market. Mac and cheese is a cheap, no-frills dish that could feed the whole family. And it is no surprise it has become a mainstay in American kitchens. It's considered the ultimate comfort food. Yeah. Just cheese and pasta. Don't know why.
I think the way to win my heart is to just give me a little bowl, just like that.
Yeah.
With mac and cheese in it. And if I'm having a bad day, I will just be like, I'm perfect now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love mac and cheese.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, by far, one of my favorites. My wife, she likes mac and cheese. But she is very stingy with mac and cheese. She's like, it's very fattening, it's very bad, you cannot have that, no.
But it's good, and that's all kinds of food.
I know.
Especially in America, equals bad.
Equals bad. And see, that's the thing, is like, my style of mac and cheese that I like, I want it creamy, ooey gooey, like, just fried breadcrumbs all over it. Like, I want the whole nine, and I know how to make it. And so it's hard because it's like, I'm going to make mac and cheese. And my wife's like, if I eat 2 spoons of that, I'm going to have to get a blood test to see how much fat is currently swimming around in our bodies. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like come on. This is mac and cheese. And then if you get Kraft, right, she's like, that's like garbage mac, right? Like it's lowly mac and cheese. And actually, I think it's because in college she had a ton of the microwave. What do they call that again?
Those are the little mini cups. Obviously, those are bad.
Oh man, she had so many of those.
Sometimes they hit the spot in the way Top Ramen does, and Maruchan Top Ramen, and It's just like mac and cheese is too good for me to give up.
I know.
And I also have a possible hot opinion because obviously I'm full of opinions that
hot
everyone
takes.
Agrees with all the time.
Yeah.
I don't really, prefer meat in mac and cheese. I would rather have a pasta dish with meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So stuff like lobster or crab, not for me.
Yeah. I concur with you there. Some people, bacon mac and cheese, that's a big one. Or chili mac, like where you do
a
chili
mac and cheese. I think it's different if it's baked mac and cheese, but
yeah,
it not like what typical mac and cheese is.
Right. My favorite type of mac and cheese, some people can say, oh, well, truffles are better. I don't care. I love caramelized onion and caramelized mushroom with mac and cheese mixed in along with the breadcrumbs.
With the onion? That sounds really good.
Oh, it's so good. It basically, I think it's a crime in a lot of states. I think they
Will
think that it's illegal.
Like, make that for me one time when Kaylee's not there.
Yeah, when Kaylee's not yelling at me, you know.
Or we can just like get her dino nuggets and she can be like, ooh.
Yeah.
Fine.
Look, I wanted to taste the mac and cheese. And I'm like, Kaylee, how did you get so old? No, here's some dino nuggets. They're good for your soft teeth. She's like, hey. Not really. No. I feel like we're just dragging her.
It's me that likes dinosaur chicken nuggets. It's yeah. not you. This is a me problem.
Yeah, this is a me problem. But yeah, but no, I mean, I love it, just mushroom and yeah, sauteed or caramelized onions in there. Super good. Like you were saying, meat, it tends to be overcooked. It tends to get either stringy or the flavor overpowers the cheeses, and I want to taste the cheeses, you know. Yeah. But the next one here, I'm gonna say Quiet Punch. It's like Quoit Punch, Q-U-O-I-T. I don't know if it's like
Quat.
Yeah, Quat Punch. I'm not sure. It's a potent American cocktail that originated sometime in the 19th century. The punch is made with rum, cognac, and Madeira. To prepare the cocktail, lemon zest is first muddled with sugar, oleosaccharum, to release oils, and is then combined with lemon juice. The mix is added to a bowl with ice, and then everything else is added. It's the local Quoit Club, a gathering place for Quoit players. I don't know what that is. It was created by Jasper Crouch, the club's cook.
Do you mind if I research on the spot what Quoit is?
Yeah, what's Quoit? Yeah. I bet you anything we're butchering it. I bet it's like something crazy, the way you pronounce it.
No, actually it is Quoit, according to dictionary.
Quite interesting.
Quoit is a traditional game which involves the throwing of metal, rope, or rubber rings over a set distance, usually to land over or near a spike.
So it's like a game kind of like horseshoes, but you use other stuff.
Circles. All right. That's cool, I guess.
That's Quoit, everybody. Ta-da! We learned something new. Also new, they're like, hey, Roanoke, you got a good peanut soup, but we can make one better in Williamsburg. Yeah, Williamsburg peanut soup. It is a traditional American soup originating from Virginia, although every area of the state has its own version of peanut soup. That's right. Every part of the state has a different peanut soup, and you're just having to, like, divvy out how it's made. Like, oh, this one's got onions, so it's a little bit better. And then that one has way too much garlic. Why did you do that? It's just, yeah. This one is a combination of ground peanuts, chicken broth, onions, celery, garlic, flour, tomatoes, Tabasco, Worcestershire sauce, peanut oil, salt, and black pepper. The ground peanuts and chicken stock are blended into a smooth puree that is strained through a sieve into a bowl. The onion, celery, garlic are sautéed, and then everything else is added. Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. That is a very pepped-up peanut soup. That's all I can say. It sounds good.
I can't imagine what... I don't know what peanut soup is like, and I really want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. But not as good as this next one that's coming in from Food Network. It's a cheese. Or is it? Pimento cheese. Yeah, that's right. Go to a party in the South, you'll find savory, salty, creamy, and yellow pimento cheese. The spicy blend of sharp cheddar, mayo, roasted red pepper, shallot, and tarragon is the most popular starter at Pasture in Richmond. The dip is served with Ritz crackers because they're chef owner Jason Alley's favorite, along with pickles and crudités. Alley knows Virginia classics. He's a native of Pulaski, outside of Blacksburg. Yeah.
Oh. I had pimento cheese. I really liked it.
Yeah, but, pimento cheese is, like, great.
What is the place called?
Mm.
That we got the food from?
What was it? Epilogue?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's where you had
chicken pimento. Burger. I had it.
Yeah, yeah. That's where you had the pimento cheese. Yeah, very good restaurant. Epilogue
is really good, by the way, if you're in Salem. Yeah.
If you're in Salem, go to Epilogue. Order their food, take it home, order there, eat it there if you, you know, can let the plate hit the table.
I can't remember what it was called that I had, but it was a chicken sandwich, essentially, with pimento cheese and collards and one of their like homemade sauces, and if you like super sort of like extravagant taste to a chicken sandwich, it's really good, and I
It's
would
very
recommend
good.
it.
Yeah. The whole place is amazing. I can't get enough of it. And I know I'm making a funny noise here, but I think I'm doing that so that I don't try to go order it now. I have really cold pizza I need to eat, and so thinking about Epilogue, it makes me regret my decision of just having cold pizza. I think that's the problem. But no, the next one here, fried pies. Yeah, that's right. Fried pies, also known as fry pies, can be found at bakeries and small town stores across the state. These handheld pies are a regular item at the Shack in Staunton. Deep fried in canola oil for a sweet and savory bite, the restaurant's apple bourbon sorghum caramel fry pie, served with a warm thyme custard, doubles down on local favorites with rich sorghum and local apples. I could get down with
that.
Yeah,
no, it's probably amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I could get down with that.
I love pie.
Pie is so good. It's, like, insane.
I think my favorite part about pie is always the crust.
I know. Isn't that awful? Because you should like the fruits of it, at least American
and
pies
I do.
With fruits, and the custards.
I do, but it's, like, the crust is just, it's like a pot pie, but sweet.
I know.
Obviously. I don't know. I like pot pies.
Yeah.
I wish I had one right now.
Pot pies, regular dessert pies, friggin' custard pies, fruit pies, any type of pies. It has a crust, I come running. That's like.
Me too.
Man, oh man. They're too good. But the next one here. It's not as run worthy, I don't think. But at the same time, people love them. Oysters. Yep. Rappahannock oysters. After years of focused conservation and entrepreneurial efforts, Virginia leads the East Coast in oyster production. The Rappahannock Oyster Company farms oysters across the Chesapeake Bay, including sweet and buttery Rappahannock River oysters. The shellfish is harvested daily on the farm in front of Merar, a restaurant located on the Rappahannock in Topping. I don't know why I went with that. About an hour from Richmond, the kitchen goes through about 12,000 oysters a week in peak season, from Memorial Day through Labor Day. Have you ever had an oyster?
I think I've had fried oysters.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Kaylee likes They're fried good. Oysters. Yeah.
Yeah, I generally like most of that kind of seafood.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. And then one of my favorites coming up, you could put it on a grilled cheese, you could put it on a biscuit, you can put it on some toast, you can put it on everything, 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 because I love it the most. It's apple butter. Ugh. And right here, apple butter on a ham and cheese sandwich. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Hey! If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Nate. There he is. Da-da-da. But yeah, Virginia's long growing season with warm days and cooler nights has helped solidify its standing as the sixth largest apple producing state in the country. PB&J specialty shop Sprelli in Fredericksburg showcases a trio of local products, Virginia Granny Smith apples, apple butter from Fresh Batch Jams in Chesapeake, and smoked Virginia ham, and its Appalachian Trail Sandwich. That's what this is. Appalachian Trail Sandwich. It has the word apple. It's like Appalachian, but it's Appalachian. Like type. Wait, oh,
isn't it Appalachian?
Technically, but it's. This is good. This is good.
Okay. Well, ignoring you and everything you just said to me, this might be crazy, but you know apple cider.
Right.
Yeah. What if there was apple butter cider? I don't know.
You mean cider that tastes like apple butter? Is that what?
Yeah.
I bet somebody's done that, actually. I bet. Because apple butter, it's pretty cinnamony, like sweet. Mm-hmm. It's like a jam, right? I would think somebody's done that.
Apple butter pie cider.
Apple butter, I'm not kidding. You can, oh man. I love apple butter. I can't get enough of apple butter. It grabs applesauce and acts like it's its friend for like 13 or 14 years and then steals its wife. That's what apple butter is. Apple butter is so good, and yet applesauce gets all the like recommendation. They're like, oh, kids love applesauce. You know what I miss? Applesauce. And I'm always like, dude, apple butter is a million times better than applesauce, and you can put it on everything.
I've never had it.
Oh, it's so good. Like I said, it's so good. I've gotten some at Easy Orchards, which is great. Their apple butter does not steal wives, so that's a good thing. But like I said, most other apple butters, watch out. Whoa. They're crazy, but they're super good. Ugh. Love me some apple butter. Anyways, the next one, peanut pie. How many things can have ham or peanuts in it? Well, in Virginia, it's pretty much everything. Peanuts have been grown commercially in Virginia since the 1840s, and the Virginia peanuts are the largest in the nation. The Virginia Diner, located in the heart of the Virginia peanut country, Sussex County, bakes as many as 4 dozen peanut pies a week. There's a half pound of crushed salted peanuts in each sweet, buttery dessert. Yeah. And then a typical one of a place that has many rivers, trout. Yeah, that's right. The state is home to more than 2,900 miles of trout streams, and brook, brown, and rainbow trout are popular among anglers and diners. The Palisades Restaurant in Eggleston sources its fish from Bracken's Fish Hatchery in Wytheville and serves rainbow trout with a toasted oat and almond crust, lavender honey, and rhubarb. The Western Virginia restaurant hosts live music and also offers a cooking camp for kids in the summertime. Way to go, Palisades Restaurant. Nice. Yeah, doing good. The next one here, soft shell crabs. I like soft shell crabs. Everyone loves soft shell crabs. Scream for soft shell crabs.
I can't because I haven't had soft shell crabs.
I tried to make like ice cream and it was way too hard. Saying soft shell crab over and over again.
Soft shell crab, cop, shop, shrimp, cop, whip.
Yeah. But summer is soft shell crab season in Virginia, and when blue crabs molt to make way of new growth, crabs are harvested just as this stage begins and held until the new shells are ready and delicious. At Restaurant Eve in Alexandria, Virginia, crabs are served with wild forage centrelles. Oh, that's so good. A friend of the restaurant procures the golden mushrooms from West Virginia and fennel blossoms from the restaurant's garden, which add a touch of anise flavor to the dish. Yeah, pretty good. And then you have Norton Wine. Yes.
Is this going to block my ads?
What?
If I drink it? Cause
probably.
The Norton program. It will.
When you drink download. Norton Wine, your computer automatically is wiped of malware from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, all you have to do is pour the wine onto your computer. And then it'll be good.
Yeah, be fine.
You don't have to pay a subscription.
Yeah, it actually has the newest updates every time. It's crazy.
I had to pay for some repairs, though.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the only downside, is that it breaks everything.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Once among the most popular varietals in the country, Norton was first cultivated in Virginia in the 1800s. Well before computers. Back then, it helped propel the state to top of the country for wine production. Vines were ripped out during Prohibition, and after Prohibition's repeal, many wineries shunned Norton in favor of grapes perceived as easier to grow. But in the last 20 years, several Virginia vineyards have worked to bring back the state's native red. Chrysalis in Middleburg has 41 acres under vine, which is thought to be the largest Norton planting in the world, and offers several bottlings that highlight the grape's soft tannins and fruit-forward flavors of cherries and plums. Mm. Yeah. Then you have Viognier wine. Yeah. Viognier Virginia's signature grape is grown throughout the state. Glasshouse Winery, located on the Monticello Wine Trail in Central Virginia, won a silver at the 2016 Governor's Cup competition for its 2013-14 estate-grown blend, offering notes of honeysuckle, caramel, and lush tropical fruit on the nose. Glasshouse also has a plant-filled conservatory attached to its tasting room, where guests can enjoy wine with chocolates made by the winery's in-house chocolatier.
That's nice.
Yeah, good wine for and them. Chocolate. Yeah,
yummy yum.
Chocolate wine, delicious.
Puts me to bed.
Puts me to bed. You got my wine and chocolate. I need to go to bed right now. But the next one here, Shad Row. Yeah, that beautiful plate.
That looks like a little dookie.
You're just speaking what you're thinking.
Well, I'm speaking the truth. If you need to cut that out, then you can.
Shad, an ocean-dwelling fish that swims into Virginia's rivers to spawn, is a local delicacy whose flesh and eggs appear on restaurant menus for a limited time in the spring. The so-called founding fish, some credit an early shad run in Pennsylvania's Schuylkill River for saving George Washington's army at Valley Forge in 1778. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's Virginia.
That's what George Washington would eat?
Yeah, yeah. He would jump in the river, grab that big thing of dookie, and just eat it. Yeah.
And then he would enjoy his chocolate wine, brought to you by Norton.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get thrown onto, like, Fox News or something for saying that. Podcaster going over food says that George Washington ate dookie.
Oh, like, no. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Also said that George Washington is the president.
He used his own slaves, which were awful, but this guy said that he eats dookie. Yeah. Like a vacuum.
Dookie just Washington. Dookie.
I don't want to start a trend. Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. But no, yeah, that's Virginia as a whole. Very American. That's all I can say. Like, yeah. Every single one of those things, if somebody said, oh, yeah, actually, it's grown in Poland, I'd be like, you're a liar. Like, what?
Didn't Red and Link from Good Mythical Morning grow up in Virginia? Or was
they grew up in
West
North Carolina. North Carolina.
Same place.
Close. But not the same place.
Probably has a bunch of ham, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of pork. A lot of pork same in North place. Carolina. Same place. See, same border place.
If totally you have pork, same. You're the same place.
Are you eating a lot of pork right now? Yeah, you're over there.
You're actually an American state.
Yeah, American state. See, that goes back to the whole thing of, like, I'm speaking to kids at some auditorium somewhere, and I call them little pigs, and they're like, no, I'm not. I'm like, are you eating pork right now? Because if you are, you're in Virginia.
You're a
or
national
North Carolina.
Icon.
You're a national icon. But yeah, good old Virginia. Oh, I hit my microphone. It bouncy. There we go.
Didn't like the word of Virginia.
It didn't, I don't think. But next time on United Foods of America, we got the great state of Utah.
I'm gonna draw it with my finger.
Do it.
You can only see this if you watch it YouTube.
On YouTube.
I'm going backwards.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Broke into whatever's by Utah right there.
Wow.
For a second.
Yeah, it has a toxic salt lake.
Map.
It has a lot of desert, but it also has a lot of mountains.
There's a cool Utah. Place in there called Moab.
Yeah, yeah, Moab, Utah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Utah is a great state. I've driven through it. It was pretty cool. Otherwise, don't know much about their cuisines. I would think very similar to Colorado-ish.
Or maybe even potato-y.
Wyoming? Yeah, it could be more potato-y. So next time, we will see everybody in Utah. Utah. We will be there.
Utah.
Utah. Utah. What if that is how, like, a script reading, like, robot voice would read that? Like, Utah. I want to hear Amazon Prime lady voice, whatever. What is it?
Alexa.
Oh, Alexa. Yeah. I want to. Alexa.
Oh, wait. There should be a sensor over that in case anybody has an Alexa at home.
Alexa, what is the name of YouTube?
A asterisk, 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 XA. No. I can spell.
What's the name of Anna? that's what it'll be. And then there, she's like, Utah is a place where people live. And it's like, thank you,
Alexa. It makes it sound like you're the alien from Alien.
Maybe I am. That's how I got here.
Nah. Nah. You didn't come from an egg.
I didn't.
You came from Virginia.
Egg. What? That is not where my mother told me babies came from.
That's where the stork flies to Virginia?
They just keep a whole warehouse of storks in Virginia, and then eventually it flies across the country.
I think they've been lying to us. I don't think it's a stork. I think it's a little piggy.
Oh, it could be. It could be a cured ham. We all come from cured hams.
Okay. We all come from dry and stringy hams.
Stringy cured hams.
We're like gum that dissolves.
Yeah. Everybody, follow us, like us, share this episode, especially to those who they're like, man, I love Shad Row. Because we talk so lovingly about it. And yep. If they love pork or ham, share it with them. Virginia, great state for that. Thank you, state of Virginia, for creating these foods and doing those things. United Foods of America. We'll see everybody next time in Utah. Please check out culinaryconvo.com. Go to our merch shop where some of my designs are there, but mostly Marissa's designs are there. You can get our two cats. You can get a slice of pizza.
Wait, you can't get them like the actual cats.
You can't get the cats. There's stickers and stuff. But anyway.
That's not a part of the bundle.
That's not part of it. We don't give those up. But they're all there on our merch shop. But also, like I said, share and rate us and smash that like button and punch the notification button with your finger on the mouse so that it clicks, because you don't need to punch screens or anything. Just
press like.
Right. Just press like. That has been Culinary Convo, United Foods of America in Virginia. We'll see everybody next time in Utah. Thank you, Marissa, again for joining me. Ha, ha, ha. And we'll see everybody next time.
Professional.
This is the best.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.